Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening, and glad you're with us here. If you're out on the roadways, I'm glad the roads are a lot better than they were earlier today. Coming up 77 tonight, it was much better. Last week when we came into the studio with the snow coming down last Sunday night, the roads were really bad and even worse going home, but tonight, they were pretty good. This morning was a different story for many people. We had a lot of snow coming down. Let's see, what was it? It was 19 degrees, I think, when I got out of my car here at the studio. And so it's kind of chilly, but not as bad as Friday night was. Friday night, we had some sub-zero temperature at our house. And as I said, I live in a small valley. One of the benefits of living in a small valley is we don't get a lot of the wind when it's real windy. But when it gets cold, we get a lot of cold air sinking down in there. And 6:30 Saturday morning, I was getting up and I was getting ready to leave. I had to be somewhere. And I was looking at the thermometer and I had to do a double take. I was at 12 degrees below zero. And that's just plain cold. And it was already, I think, 7 or 8 degrees below zero when I went to bed at midnight on Friday night. And so it was a cold one. But thankfully, last night wasn't as bad. It's not as bad tonight. I'll take 19 above zero before I take 9 or 12 below zero, I think, any day. But again, if you're out there, just watch out. If you're in an area where you get some blowing and drifting, you might get some of that in some spaces. There's some little light snow coming down here in Independence right now. And I think there's supposed to be some more snow coming in tomorrow. But hey, this is northeastern Ohio. And this is usually the coldest time of the year, late January, early February. But think about it, we're getting that much closer. And not too many days. What is it? Just a couple of weeks. What is it? February 2nd isn't very far away, just a little over a week away. That's Groundhog's Day. So remember, if the groundhog sees his shadow, 6 more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see his shadow, you got a month and a half of winter to go. So that's the easiest way to figure that one. But I'm glad you're with us tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to have a word of prayer to get started here this evening, and we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program. Use it for your glory this evening. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, in all things, help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, good to be with you tonight. I'm Pastor Al Davis, and sitting down here and getting all my stuff together, and I had everything out, and I was thinking I'm forgetting something. Oh, yeah, I haven't went online with my computer and got that set up. So I'm getting that taken care of, and I'm thinking, then I hear the following program, and I realized, you know what? I don't have my headset on. So I was scrambling around trying to find my headphones and get them plugged in while the music's playing so that I'd be ready for the program. But thankfully, all that worked out well, and even got on the computer as well, same time. So yeah, multitasking there. But just a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can not only find out more about me, but you can also see some booklets and some articles and things that I have posted on there that I've written over the years. You can listen to some past programs. There's some other materials that are there. I got some word searches that are there, different things. And just go to livewithpastoral.com. And then from there, you can also link over to the page for our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and we'll have more information about that at the break at 11:30 and at the end of the program at midnight as well. And I certainly invite you to come out and visit us. If you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God, we'd love to have you come out and pay us a visit. We have a Bible study on Friday nights at 7 o'clock until 9. It's an informal Bible study. You bring the questions. We talk about them, questions that people have. I was sharing with somebody the other day that last Friday night that we had one of those softball questions somebody gave me. They said, if heaven is perfect and Lucifer was created perfect and without sin, how did he sin? You know, that was one of those nice softball questions we had last Friday night, and we looked at what the Bible had to say, and so we'll talk about most anything there, and that's what we do on the program here. People come up with different questions, and we talk about them, see what the Bible has to say, and relate that to things that are happening in the world to the Word of God as well. So check us out online, live at PastorAl.com, in link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church as well. And started mentioning our services. We also have Sunday services, and you can find all that on there Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, Ohio. And stay tuned for more information on that, or check us out online live at PastorAl.com. We're going to get to our callers here in just a minute. We got several lined up already, but I did want to remind you of a couple of things that are happening. Last week, I was supposed to go and speak and share a testimony at a hearing on House Bill 324. And House Bill 324, essentially what it's going to do, is designed to ensure the right of Ohioans to have their family members or clergy, pastor or whatever, visit them while they're in the hospital, even if we're in the midst of a pandemic or something like that. And so many people know that during the past 2 years, people were in hospital settings and denied the right to have family and clergy visit. People died alone in the hospital, and it's just a travesty, especially in a civilized, supposed to be a Christian society, that this would happen. And, you know, I've in the past, before COVID was ever heard of, I've gone in to visit people where you had to gown up and put protective gear on, and because they had some highly communicable disease, and they wanted to make sure that you didn't get it and didn't spread it to anybody else. People go in. Last year when I was in the hospital with COVID pneumonia myself, I didn't see my wife for 5 days, and the only time I could interaction I had with her was talk with her on the telephone. She wasn't allowed in, even though she herself is an RN, and yet the doctors, the nurses, and the housekeeping staff came in periodically to take care of things. But other than that, it's all I ever saw. And they were only in briefly. But if they could gown up to come in and see me and to take care of a few things, then surely a family member could gown up to come in, or a pastor or somebody could gown up to come in and see me or people who were in a situation that I was in. There's no reason that they can't. The doctors and nurses, they're trying to take care of the physical needs of people, but they do not have the time. They're short-staffed to begin with, and letting go of all of the non-vaccinated staff has made them, crippled them even more. And so they're short-staffed, overworked, and they just do not have the time to sit and talk with people. And this is where we ought to be allowing family and clergy to come in and spend some time. Let the doctors deal with the physical needs. Let the family, we're not talking about a bunch of people there. They can restrict it, limit it one or two at a time. Let a pastor come in or whatever, and tend to the spiritual and the emotional needs of people. And so I'll be speaking before the Ohio Health Committee, Lord willing, on Tuesday in support of House Bill 324. If you want to learn more about that bill, go online, ohiohouse.gov, ohiohouse.gov, and click on the legislation tab. You'll see it there. It says search legislation, and just enter HB 324. And you can see more about that. And I believe it's something you should encourage your representatives to get behind this. It was put off last week, not because of the weather, but because of an unconscionable action by the Ohio Supreme Court, which declared the redistricting maps unconstitutional. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but just to let you be aware of what's happening is the Chief Justice O'Connor, the Ohio Supreme Court, took this case, which she never, in my opinion, she never should have taken. We had a commission that was used to draw up the redistricting, and generally the party that had the majority of the state offices, Secretary of State, Governor, things like that, would have control of that commission. Then we put through a few years ago a ballot initiative, I think is what it was, and we set up this new redistricting process. And the way it worked out is the majority of them were still Republicans, but there's guaranteed two seats for a minority party, which was the Democrats. And according to the law that was passed in the state of Ohio, and if I'm not mistaken, it was some of the Democrats and such were the backers of getting this pushed through in the first place. The idea was that if the maps were drawn up, and they have to draw them up every 10 years after the census, that if the minority party agreed to if the minority party members on the commission agreed to the redistricting maps, then they would last for the next 10 years until the next census. But if the minority party disagreed with the maps, then they would only last for 4 years, and they would have to be redrawn again after 4 years. And that's what the thing clearly says. So on that basis, now I'm not an attorney, and I don't play one on the radio, but my understanding, the common sense understanding of that, is that when they saw that the maps were going to be adopted, and they did not like the fact that they were going to be there for at least 4 years, the Democrat minority on the commission sued, and they took it to court. Now, Chief Justice O'Connor should have looked at that and said, the law is clear. If you do not agree with the maps, it only lasts 4 years and then they'll be redrawn. And that should have been it, case dismissed. But instead she took it and she spent, I think, 90 days or something like that hemming and hawing, and then reached a decision and released it last week, 10 days before the cutoff for people to get their petition signed to get on the ballot for the May primary. Well, problem with that is we don't have maps that I know of, unless they've come up with something here in the last couple of days. And there are people who want to run for public office in Ohio, state representative, state senator, even U.S. representatives, and they don't know where the district lines are. Some people thought they were in one district and they might be in another. And then when they try to get people to sign their petition to get on the ballot, the people signing don't always know what district they're going to be in. Everything is an uproar. And if they would have followed the law that was passed, that there wouldn't have this, we wouldn't have this problem. And so as a consequence, there's actually talk that the May primary might be put back to June or July. This is unreasonable and unnecessary. If O'Connor had just simply done her job and said, the law is clear, it's a four-year map, case dismissed, and said that early on, people trying to get on the ballot, both Republican and Democrat, would be out there getting their things together. They'd know what districts they're in, and people sign their petitions would know what districts they're in. But this is chaos and confusion, and personally, I think it's by design. So pray for our state.
pray that we'd be able to get these things taken care of, and still don't know what's going to happen with the primaries in May, whether they're going to be able to have them in May or not, because I believe the signatures on the ballots are due by February 2nd or 3rd, something like that. It's not very far away. All right. Well, just want to share some of those things. Also, pray for what's happening in the Ukraine. Putin is very much gearing himself. He can see what's happening. He can see that NATO is splintered. He can see that America is weak and indecisive. And he's looking at this as his time to strike. A number of amphibious troop ships have shipped out from Russia, and they transited the English Channel. They're heading down the Atlantic through the Mediterranean, coming up through the Black Sea on the southern side of the Ukraine. There's train loads of Russian equipment and things going into Belarus to come down from the north, and they're just poised to attack. It doesn't look like there's going to be any if involved here. It looks more like when. Saw that they were having non-essential personnel sent home from the Ukraine and some of the surrounding areas, and the U.S. Government is ordering all non-essentials to leave the Ukraine. So pray for that part of the world. And then, of course, if you're paying attention to what's happening in the Middle East, the Iranian proxies in Yemen, the Houthis and the Saudis, have been fighting back and forth. It's like a low-grade war going on there right now. And the Houthis actually used the ballistic missiles that they obtained from Iran to attack in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, Abu Dhabi. And there's several places, five places, an oil refinery, an industrial section, an airport, and I think some other location that were the scene of missile attacks. There were some people killed. I believe they were foreign workers, Pakistani and Indian. Of course, Iran is doing this as well because they're pushing. They'd love to control Mecca and Medina. They're the center of Shiite Islam. Saudi Arabia, that controls Mecca and Medina, they're the center of Sunni Islam, and of course they're opposed to each other, and so the Shiites believe they should control Mecca and Medina and not the Sunnis, and so that's part of it. There's more going on. Maybe we'll touch on some of that a little bit later. But I just want to catch up on some of those things. Look at what's happening. You know, we in this country have been so focused on COVID this and COVID that, mask this, shots this and that and the other, that we're not paying attention to what's happening in the world around us. And by the way, much of the world around us is saying COVID is over. Britain has announced that they're rescinding mask orders, vaccine mandates, and all that. COVID's over. It's nothing more than the common cold now, is what they're saying. And other countries following suit. Pray that our country would just use a little common sense with this. But it's distracting us from what's going on in the world. And as believers, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible says that we are to watch. He says in verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." He's talking about watching for the events leading up to the return of Christ, and before that, the catching away of the believers, which is probably the next great event on God's prophetic calendar, or maybe I should say clock, the catching away of the believers, an event known as the rapture. And so then following that, the rise of the Antichrist, and then he will set up his government over the world, and the seven-year tribulation period will take place before Jesus Christ returns at the end of the tribulation, and then sets up his millennial reign, his thousand-year kingdom here on earth. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673, and we've got Mark waiting patiently for us tonight. Mark, welcome to the program this evening.
Hi, Pastor Al. Thanks again for letting me come on and share my concern about where I live down here in Marysville.
Yes, sir.
The ministry that bought this property that I've been renting for 15 years, they bought it like 3.5 weeks ago. last Monday they finally ripped their mask off, and they have changed their mind. And depending on who they talk to, they give one story to one person, one story to my former landlord, one story to the donors. They're going to use this property now as transition housing for women with small children who are in hardship or having to escape abusive relationships. I asked him that point blank, the president. He was over here last Monday night, and I asked him, you know, are you guys going to raise our rent? They said yes. But then he got a phone call, and he was talking to somebody. He said, I'm over here at the transition property. So I thought, well, they're backtracking again. So I asked him, you know, and he said they're going to use it for this, you know, for women and stuff. And I said, what about women getting out of prison? And he was very vague on that. And that is what they've been using as a sales pitch for 7 to 8 months to get donations.
Mm-hmm.
Something is up here. I don't know what these people are up to. The leader of this place, he's affiliated with a heretic out in California. He's nuts. This leader is nuts. So I would really appreciate people's prayers that God would intervene and uncover whatever is going on. I'm leaving. I will be looking at be shown an apartment tomorrow. They're doing a background check on me. I know that'll show nothing because I do one on myself for my business. And hopefully the next time I talk to you, if it's next Sunday night, I will be in another place, another apartment here in Marysville. But something is really, really wrong with the Hope Center in Marysville, Ohio. Something is really wrong here, and I don't know what it is. I know people are leaving the church that is pastored also by the president of this ministry, and I'm just asking people to pray. I am keeping a low profile. I don't want any hassle from these people at all. They've got ethics violations. I've talked to two women that are on or have been involved with three 501c3 organizations. They know what these people are doing is wrong. They just haven't got caught yet. I really think something sinister is up. So I'm just asking for prayer that God would intervene, because I've talked to different people, and especially people in prison ministry. They're really concerned that there is a situation developing here where it could lead to something very sinister along the lines of abuse, physical or sexual abuse or trafficking.
Right.
I mean, I'm not accusing, I'm not saying that. I'm saying other people have said that they're concerned that that could develop into that. So that's not an accusation, in case, you know, knuckleheads are listening.
Right, right. Sorry. Well, and we certainly encourage people to pray, and you gave us updates over the, it's been a little over a year, I think, since this thing's been going on, and encourage people to pray for you. I'm glad you're able to get out of the situation and
yourself.
I just need
to get a background check, and everything needs to get approved the kosher way with these people that I'm going to rent from, but, you know, I don't have anything, you know, in my background, and my credit's good and all that. And I just, tomorrow, I just want to know that I have got a place to go to officially so I can spend the rest of the week packing and just, I've never been through nothing like this, but I was in a cult back in the 80s, and I came out in 1990. There's only been a half a dozen situations where I thought, this has got the earmarks of a cult, and this is the worst. This Hope Center in Marysville, Ohio, it ain't hope. There's something really wrong going on underneath the surface, and the Lord will expose everything. He'll bring everything into the light, and I just pray that God will stir up people to pray for this thing. I just want to get as far away from it as I can. I'm going to, you know, let them crash and burn, figuratively speaking, and just asking for more prayer, and thank you very much for letting me come on and share this burden and this situation.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. I know people are praying for you, and I certainly pray that God will bring the hidden things to light and expose if there is something untoward going on, something illicit going on, that God would bring that to light and protect people that might otherwise be caught up in that. Certainly we know that the devil will gladly use people that are Christians or claim to be Christians to try and tarnish the Word of God, tarnish the people of God. And so I don't know anything about the individuals involved, but even Paul warned that out from among ourselves would come grievous wolves sometimes. So we need to be careful, and the Bible says, try the spirits, whether they're of God or not. And having come from a cult, survived a cult yourself, you know, you may very easily be attuned to that more than the average person would.
Yeah.
So certainly we ask that God continue to protect you and bring the hidden things to light. So, but thank you for the update, Mark, and I know people will be praying that everything goes well and you're able to get out of that situation.
Great. Thanks a lot. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Take care. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got Nancy patiently waiting as well. Nancy, welcome to the program here this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Now, you were talking about the situation in Ukraine, and I was thinking of that, it's not a Bible verse, from my understanding. John Knox started it, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. I was thinking it was in the Bible, but I researched it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm familiar with the saying, yes.
Yeah, I've heard that Ukraine, that there are a lot of immoral things going on, a corrupt government, blah, blah, blah. But would that saying apply? And, you know, I'm thinking of Romans 13, you know, we're to obey government authorities, and Acts 5:29, obey God rather than men.
Mm-hmm.
But would you say that if the Ukraine could withstand the takeover by Russia, would they be obeying God, or is this just a matter of Russia wanting to take over Ukraine and, you know, be the big authority? I don't know how to say it.
Well, I mean, I think both cases you're dealing with corrupt governments. The Ukraine, like Russia, has a lot of corruption involved. And so we understand that neither one of them are governed by people that are upholding the word of God and trying to be, you know, follow the Bible's teaching in their governance. We're dealing with evil, corrupt individuals that are greedy of power and money for themselves. And so we see the ungodly fighting amongst themselves all the time.
So I
wouldn't necessarily say that the Ukraine is any more corrupt than Russia, or Russia is any more corrupt than the Ukraine. We do know that there's a lot of greed involved, and I also think that God is using these things to set the stage for things that are going to happen in the setup for the, you know, Ezekiel 38. We have the Gog Magog invasion of Israel, and the satellite nations, peoples that are gathered in with Gog, which I believe is Russia, includes the Ukraine and Belarus and Turkey and Iran and places like that. So I believe we're seeing the ground set for that, because there was some thought at one point that the Ukraine might edge more toward Western Europe in some of their thoughts, and even I think there was a consideration that they might join NATO, was talked about, but Russia's also, and they're not going to come in and so much occupy it and annex it, I don't think, like they did the Crimean Peninsula. I think what their goal is to replace the current leadership in the Ukraine with a Russia-friendly leadership, one that they can control, like a puppet regime.
Oh.
Because, see, they like the idea of the territory of Ukraine because, for one thing, during the old Soviet Union days, for those that remember their history, the Soviet Union during, you know, the bulk of the 20th century, the Ukraine was the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. And also they have some, you know, energy resources and all of that. And Russia is trying to bolster its income by selling natural gas and oil to Western Europe. And if you look on a map, controlling the Ukraine is a very smart thing from Putin's standpoint in order to send pipelines and shipments of gas and oil over into Europe. So that, of course, makes some of the countries in Europe more dependent on Russia, allowing them to control and affect them. So hopefully that helps a little bit there.
Yes, well, thank you very much.
All right.
Really well.
Well, thanks. I we're going to cut off here for the break, but thanks for calling, Nancy. Appreciate that. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone lines are open. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. And certainly remind you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can learn more about me, about the program, and also about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can link to our page there. You can also see some of our social media. We've got several different social media sites, Facebook, USA.life, MeWe, Parler, Twitter, just a number of them. You can find them all on there, gab.com, and we're still experimenting with some of them, seeing which ones. I had a discussion with somebody this past week, and MeWe is something that's really coming a long way. MeWe.com, if you've ever seen that, spelled just like it sounds, MeWe, MeWe.com. And I was on that some years ago initially, and it just didn't do anything, and so I just kind of ignored it for a while. But with all of the Facebook censorship and Twitter censorship that's been going on, MeWe has kind of exploded in the last year and a half, I think. And so I've been getting a lot of feedback from some things I've been posting on there. And then, of course, gab.com is another one that's getting talked about a lot, and we're getting a fair amount of traction there as well. So you can check some of these out. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find the links to several of those things. And, of course, you can give us a call, like I said tonight, 888-677-9673, and we have got Terry who's waiting patiently. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good. I heard you guys got all the snow down there that we didn't get.
Well, you know, it all depends on where you're at. I was looking at something that somebody had posted in who lives out further towards northwestern Ohio, and they were saying that they hardly had any snow at all. And I guess it would be Monday afternoon, I went out and measured in several spots, and pretty consistently 15 and a half inches. So that's a pretty good snowfall by any stretch. And
we've virtually got none.
Yeah, and see, that was because this one came up from the south initially. And it's interesting. I was listening. I forget who it was. I think it was our Channel 5 here on the weather. Mark Johnson, some of the people here in the area would be familiar. I think he might have been the one that was saying this. But the system that came through was almost like a carbon copy of a system that came through in early December 1974. It took the same track and had very similar snow totals in the same areas. And but there used to be a guy on Channel 8 down here called Dick Goddard, and I grew up listening to him do the weather. And this guy, he was a meteorologist, started out in the United States Air Force as a meteorologist, and then he brought that training with him, and he didn't just give you the weather report. He actually showed you what the weather was doing and why it was doing it, and he had offers to go other places, even to some, you know, network programming, and he chose to stay here because he loved the challenge of doing the weather in the Great Lakes region, especially Northeast Ohio. And he always said when you get one of these low systems, they call it a panhandle hook, comes down over the Oklahoma panhandle and across Texas, and it dips down toward the Gulf. It picks up, it's a cold system, and it's dry, and it picks up a lot of moisture off from the Gulf, and then it comes back up. And he says when it comes back up, it depends on the track that it takes. If it tracks close to Pittsburgh, then here in the Northeast Ohio in the Akron-Cleveland area, we'll get a lot of snow out of it because the wraparound comes in on us and it comes over and picks up some more moisture off from Lake Erie if it's not ice covered. And because of the higher terrain as you get south of Lake Erie, it squeezes the air and you get a lot. That's where we get our lake effect from, which we've had a fair share of this week too. But it really dumps. And he said if it tracks closer towards Philadelphia, and of course Pittsburgh's on the western side of Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia's on the eastern side. If it tracks closer to Philadelphia, we'll get much less snow, and so it all depends. And they were predicting that last weekend the thing was going to go up a little, you know, just around the center of Pennsylvania, maybe a little just west of center, and we were supposed to get 5 to 8 inches, and we got 15 and a half. So, so it, obviously it tracked closer to Pittsburgh and all. But then we've had some lake effect this week, but Lake Erie's freezing over pretty quickly right now. So it's always interesting watching the weather here in this part of the world. So.
Hey, I was listening to your presidential president talking to the media.
Yes.
one thing that he said that kind of troubled me. He says it depends on what Putin does.
Yeah, and he raised the N-word as in potential nuclear escalation, which why he did that is beyond me. But he seemed to say, and I'm not saying he did, but I was listening to something, and the leadership in the Ukraine was absolutely beside themselves, because it appeared that that the United States president said that they would tolerate a minor incursion into the Ukraine by Putin.
Putin took over Crimea.
Yes, yes, they did. They just annexed it.
Nobody did anything to them when they took over Crimea. What does it, you know, if he takes over Ukraine, you know, what are they going to do?
Well, you know, NATO is kind of fractured right now and kind of weak and in some senses almost leaderless. Parts of Western Europe, Germany in particular, are becoming dependent on Russia for their natural gas and oil needs. And that's by design from, you know, Putin's part, because if they give him too much trouble, he can turn the spigot off. And especially in the winter, that's kind of problematic. And with the weak, ineffective leadership from the United States, you know, this is his time to strike. As I was talking with Nancy in the first half, there's a lot of advantages to controlling the Ukraine. During the Soviet Union days, of course, Russia was the main power, but they controlled the Ukraine, and it was the breadbasket of the Soviet Union, and it's also kind of the gateway to Western Europe, and so it's a very valuable piece of real estate, a lot of energy resources as well.
And Russia believes that Ukraine belongs to them, still belongs to them in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I think. That's to my understanding anyway, but I don't know exactly for sure what they're thinking. But
yeah, so I think it's just a matter of time. I think people would be wise to pay attention to what's going on over there. Pray for that part of the world. I mean, we should be praying for the world in general and different things, and I think God brings places to our mind from time to time. And I think this is a time that God's people ought to be praying for what's going on over there. And as I told Nancy in the last half hour, this may well be God allowing the stage to be set for, final pieces coming into place to get us ready for the time when he catches the believers out of the world, brings the Antichrist to power. And I still think Psalm 83 is a battle that'll take place yet and could happen while we're still here. And I think it will result in the destruction of Syria, Lebanon, in Egypt and different places, and what would be Jordan and Iraq today, and portions of Iran. But that's not the Ezekiel 38 battle, the Gog-Magog battle, invasion of Israel, and I think that's preparatory. That'll help seal the stage, set the stage, and get things ready so that Russia will be able to make the attempt to come in. And if they control the Ukraine, they'll basically control nearly all of the the Black Sea there, and of course if Turkey is in their orbit as well. And that's the entrance to the Black Sea. And so that allows them to come down through there, and it allows them to influence much of the Central Asian republics, places like Azerbaijan and Turkey, Georgia, Armenia, and different places in that part of the world, and which are all going to be allied with Russia in the Ezekiel 38 invasion of Israel. So things are coming together.
That's all a good thing. Eh? We should be rejoicing. But
yeah, well, you know, that's what...
The Lord coming for the church.
That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, where he said, when you see these things begin to happen,
look up,
your redemption draweth nigh. And that's why I said that I think we're beyond just saying we're in the latter days. I think we're in the latter hours of the latter days, if not the latter minutes. And
that'll be a day of rejoicing. That will be.
Mm-hmm. But we do see a lot of things happening in the world. Iran's emboldened. China's emboldened. North Korea's emboldened. Russia's emboldened. And all of that, I've said this in the past, that according to my understanding of Bible prophecy, something has to happen to weaken America and remove us from being the main force in world affairs. And, you know, I've thought of different scenarios that could play out, and some of them may yet. But I'm going to tell you, after the last 2 years, especially in this last year, you know, a year ago, China, Russia, and North Korea and Iran really were concerned about what would happen to them if they went too far. But in the last year, they've come to realize they can pretty much do what they want without fear of serious reprisal. And
who's to say that China could be a super world power?
Exactly. And I think
if they're not already.
Well, yeah. And I think they'll represent, the main stay of the kings of the East that come in during the tribulation period. But when we look at this, America really is just kind of taking itself off from the world stage in many cases. You know, the Israelis have actually been looking at what's happened in the last year and realizing that America really can't be counted on right now. And they're trying to shore up their relationships with Russia. You know, it's kind of like befriending the alligator, hoping that he'll eat you last, I guess. The Iranians also are looking at the United States as being largely absent from the Middle East right now in terms of a power broker or somebody that needs to be really considered and how they'll react and everything. And that's why they're negotiating more with Russia. And so Putin is emboldened. He sees this is his time to consolidate his grip on Central Asian republics or nations. And then he's certainly bolstering his relationships with Turkey, with his presence in Syria. In fact, I believe that the Russians just took over a major port in Syria, Mediterranean seaport, and basically they went in and said to the Syrians, "Listen, too much terrorist activity going on here." I was listening to one source. They said that the Israelis actually were in contact with the Russians, saying that with the terrorist activity, Iran was supplying arms and things through that port and different things. The Israelis were saying, we're going to take this port out unless you do something. And so Putin basically had his people go in and tell the Syrians, we're taking this port over. And they did that so the Israelis wouldn't destroy it. That's what I heard from a couple things I was looking at this past week. And so that may be the case. But whatever the case is, Putin is leading Russia to have a stronger, more visible, more vocal role in Middle Eastern affairs. And that certainly dovetails with what we see happening in what would be the buildup for the Gog-Magog invasion that Ezekiel chapter 38 outlines. And again, we go back to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21. When you see these things begin to happen, well, we're certainly seeing them begin to happen, aren't we?
Yeah, we should be rejoicing.
Exactly. And a lot of Christians become anxious and fearful. But we ought not to be anxious and fearful. Like you said, we ought to be rejoicing because we know, as Jesus said, our redemption draweth nigh. And that's why he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, after telling us to not be asleep but watch and be sober, and he talks about being ready for the return. And then he says in verse 11, after talking about being ready and watching for the catching away of the believers, he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So we should comfort one another during these times, encourage one another, build one another up, looking forward, you know, with that blessed hope that Paul wrote to Titus about, and it was Titus 2:13, I believe, the blessed hope, which is the catching away of the believers prior to the time of the tribulation. And it's exciting to think about.
There's one thing that came to me. You know, I've had people, you know, they criticize me somewhat because I spend too much time studying, the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. And,
mm-hmm.
and but, you know, like, you know, it sounds like they don't really hear. They don't, because the God of this world is blind as their eyes. But, you know, if they get left behind, then they'll realize that they've been duped, hopefully.
Well, and some will, and that's a discussion that people have every once in a while. What is going to happen, you know, in regards to people after the catching away of the believers? Are people going to be able to get saved? And it's very clear that people will come to Christ during the tribulation because, let's see, let me turn over to Revelation here for just a minute real quick here. I think Revelation chapter 6 or so shows us beyond any shadow of a doubt that people will come to Christ during the tribulation. Let's see here. This is in Revelation chapter, well, that's going to be chapter number, let's see, chapter 7 is not, 6 is not, there we are, 7. The opening of the seventh seal here, I believe. And, no, I'm mistaken. That's when the seven trumpets start to sound, and that's got some other things in there that I'm looking at, but, there we are. I missed it. I overlooked it. I was right. Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 9. I should have thought about this. The fifth seal. 5 is the number of grace. It's appropriate that this is the seal we read this under. Revelation chapter 6 verse 9, it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them which were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Now, this is during the tribulation period and likely during the first half of the tribulation. And these are people who come to Christ during the tribulation period. And these people, we see them described. They were slain, he said, for the word of God and the testimony which they held. And it says that others are going to be killed as they were. And that's, of course, the great persecution of people who come to Christ during the tribulation period. And then as I started to say, chapter 7, we have the sealing of the 144,000, 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 men that are going to be basically servants of God, specially sealed during the tribulation period. And so they're Jewish men that are going to come to Christ during the tribulation period. And then later on, of course, we hear about great multitudes singing and praising the Lord in heaven, people who are saved during the tribulation. So a lot of people come to Christ during the tribulation.
Yeah, so I believe that, you know, they might not hear me now or hear people talking to them now, trying to warn them about mm-hmm. what they're doing. I believe they're gonna hear during the.
Oh yeah, but there are some people during the tribulation who will never get saved. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 warns us about this, where he talks about the rise of the Antichrist and what Satan is doing with the signs and lying wonders in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And it says in verse 10 here, or I'm sorry, chapter 2 in verse 10, where it says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." And so there's some people who refused the gospel. And then he says this in verse 11, "For this cause," these are the people who refused the gospel message, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." He continues in verse 12, "that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So there are some people who hear the gospel, they understand it, and they don't want it. My wife and I had an individual when we were in the Samoan Islands as missionaries back in the 1990s, and this woman told us, she said, "I understand the gospel. I know I need to be saved. I believe it's true. but I don't want to get saved because I like my life the way it is. She liked partying and different things. She said, if I put my faith in Christ, he's going to change me and take away my desire for partying and drinking and all this sort of stuff. And I don't want that. So in other words, she's somebody who had pleasure in unrighteousness. And these people...
Those are the people that might not even have any hope.
Right. Well, that's what he says. These people are going to believe a lie. They're going to be strongly deluded, and they will not be saved. But there's countless... Yeah, but there's countless others who may have heard, but they just said, it just doesn't make sense to me, or whatever the reason is. But they've not rejected it because they have pleasure in unrighteousness, and they purposely reject it. So there's going to be a great body of people prepared that when these events begin to take place, that will come to Christ in great multitudes, and so we'll have the preaching of the 144,000, the two witnesses, and different things. That's why I encourage people, buy a case of Bibles, get some King James Bibles, put them in your house, in your closet, just a box of them. Don't take up much space, and because when we're gone, who's going to be printing those things?
Well, I got one book. That sits on my dresser. I don't know if I agree with it completely, but it's. It's called Are You Raptured Ready?
Uh-huh.
And I keep it on my dresser all the time in case the Lord takes me in.
Well, what are we going to leave behind? We've often taught, as pastors and things, I hear the music come, we're coming up at the end of the program, we've often taught and told people, what kind of a legacy are you going to leave behind for the next generation? Well, I think now we have to start realistically looking, what kind of a legacy are we going to leave behind for those left behind? And that's something to think
about. Please read this book. It could save your life. I wrote it in the book, eh?
Yeah, and so we should have some of those materials. One of the things that could happen, this would affect Canada, this would affect the United States, electromagnetic pulse attack that could take out the electronics, the internet, computers, TV, radio, telephone, self-service, all that stuff, and the printed words and stuff is what we're going to have left. Hey, we got just about 15 seconds left in the program. Terry, thanks for your call tonight, and I do want to thank everybody for listening this evening. If you're out driving, stay safe, and God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.